But let's bounce it around the NFL. We've recapped Saturday wildcard action. We've previewed Sunday wildcard action. Let's hit all the news and rumors, coaching carousel, and everything else with SB Nation's Ryan Van Bibber. Ryan, welcome to the program. Great to talk to you this morning, or this afternoon, I should say.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just great. I guess place we'll start, let's start in New England, and we'll stay there for a while. We'll start with Bill Belichick, and everybody has read the ESPN.com article, and I talked about it a lot yesterday, and I said, the realities are there's not much to it. Bill's not going anywhere. And because there's no other opportunity where he could easily get the keys to the kingdom and yet have the infrastructure, the winning now, and all those other things. That's number one. Number two, everybody forgot he was under contract for all kinds of money for a long, long time, and Robert Kraft wasn't just going to let him leave. So, you know, I talked about that, and then I had read the following article in the New York Daily News where they said, well, if he leaves, he's coming to the Giants, and I threw cold water all over that because I can't see Bill Belichick working for Dave Gettleman. So I want to get your thoughts on Bill Belichick, the fractured relationship between the big trio in New England, and is there anything to this ESPN.com article, or is it a lot of bluster?
Well, I mean, there's something to it. You know, Seth Wickersham's a good reporter. This isn't stuff that somebody just made up. And we've seen that, you know, we've seen little hints of that tension, you know, with Brady and Guerrero, his trainer, and Svengali or whatever, Alex Guerrero, the guy that feeds him electrolytes, we've seen the tension that's created there before, and rightfully so, because, you know, the team has trainers and medical doctors, and they, you know, have a responsibility to the, you know, as part of their responsibility to the players and as part of their legal obligation through the collective bargaining agreement to treat players, you know, with science and medicine and not, you know, kind of the fancy fad diets and stuff that this guy does. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. And it's ego. I mean, you know, they've got 5 Super Bowls. They've been at this for 17, 18 years now together, Brady and Belichick and the Patriots. This is not a, you know, this shouldn't, you mean, the real surprise here is that it's taken 17 to 18 years to get to this point.
Okay, well, following up, I kind of made the statement that he's not going anywhere and that they're going to have to figure this out somehow. Are you of the same opinion that I am that his chances of leaving New England to do anything other than retire are basically slim and none, and Slim just left the room?
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, that's just, you know, I saw that report too. I thought that's pure fantasy. There's just no way that would ever happen. I mean, and why would you want to leave New England? Why would you do anything besides retire if you're done in New England? If you're Bill Belichick, you're never going to be able to recreate what you've created there. You're never going to have that kind of power. You're never going to have those kind of circumstances line up again. And you know, he's not a young man anymore.
Staying with New England. Rumor is Rob Patricia is going to sign to become the next head coach of the Detroit Lions. How true is this, number one? And number two, what kind of success do you think he will have in Detroit with a team that does have the franchise-type quarterback and some other pieces?
Well, you know, I'll be interested to see who he hires for his offensive coordinator if he does end up with the job in Detroit. You know, they've got a good foundation in place, you know, with the Lions. They obviously have some work to do around the roster, but, you know, you've got the quarterback covered, and that's the most important piece. So it kind of depends on me, who he hires to surround him there a little bit. But I don't think he'll be worse than Jim Caldwell, to say the least.
Could anybody actually be worse than, well, Jim Caldwell?
That's kind of...
A very, very nice man, I think we'd all agree, just a lousy football coach.
Yeah, it's like I say, it's a really low bar to clear, and I think it's just, you know, to have a little bit of that boldness that they picked up in New England. They're smart, they game plan well, but they're not afraid to take chances either. And I think that's kind of, you know, that's something that's always missing with coaches like Jim Caldwell. You don't get that, you know, the willingness to kind of go for it. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
You know what? Let's go next to Kansas City. We all watched the wild card loss and the meltdown in many ways of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs would like to blame it on the officials. I know there were some egregious calls made. I'm not willing to blame it on the officials. I guess something has to change in Kansas City. Andy Reid's been there 4 years. They usually win double-digit games, and they're usually an immediate ouster in the playoffs. Is that change Alex Smith being traded and Pat Mahomes taking over at quarterback, or are there some other changes that are being made that maybe I'm missing?
No, I mean, the quarterback thing's going to happen. It has to. I mean, they've sort of built their plan for the future around that. And, you know, they need that cap money because obviously you saw some pretty, you know, egregious flaws on defense exposed yesterday. They don't have enough talent in the secondary. They don't have enough talent up the middle. You know, with Chris Jones out, they really exposed there. So, you know, they've got to get better in that department. They need more pass rushing help. They need, you know, they need that $22 million that against the cap that Alex Smith is going to count next year.
Well, riddle me this. Obviously, they're moving on to Pat Mahomes. The freeing up $22 million allows them to address a lot of other needs, like the run defense, getting some more weapons for Pat Mahomes to throw to in the passing game, and a whole lot more. What kind of a bogey does Alex Smith fetch, number one? And number two, who's willing to pay that bogey as far as in this trade?
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, the Dorsey connection in Cleveland is definitely something to keep an eye on. I mean, Cleveland needs a quarterback, and maybe they still feel like Kaiser can be that guy. I kind of doubt it. Or maybe they feel like there's a guy in the draft this year for him with two, you know, top five picks. But, you know, you bring in an Alex Smith, it's not a bad strategy if you're Cleveland and you want to get competitive quick and have a veteran quarterback like Alex Smith for a couple of years to bridge that divide. You know, there are a lot of teams that could use him. I mean, there's any team that needs a quarterback is going to look at what Alex Smith's done in Kansas City and think that they can repeat it. Now, can they actually repeat it? That's kind of the million-dollar question, but we'll see what happens.
Well, let me ask you this, and what do you think Alex Smith is as a quarterback? Is he a caretaker in the Trent Dilfer mold who, if everything else is perfect, you can win a championship with him? Beyond that, he's a playoff-capable quarterback? Or do you think there's something a little more to Alex Smith, that everything doesn't have to be quite perfect and you can win in a major way with him?
No, there's more to him. I mean, like, you know, from a lot of coaches, he is going to be that Dilfer game manager, the dink and dunk passer. But if you do what can, I mean, this is what's so frustrating about the Chiefs is they're smart offensively. It just kind of, for some reason, leaves them when they get into trouble and you see him get away from what works. You saw that yesterday in the second half. But, you know, with Alex Smith, you bring in that sort of hybrid spread offense and you can do a lot more than just, you know, dink and dunk it down the field like that. I mean, there's talent there. He's an athletic quarterback. He works well outside the pocket. You can do option offenses with him. You can do play action offenses with him. It just kind of, you know, you've got to get him with a good coach to get the best out of him.
Ryan Van Bibber, SB Nation, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Well, we talked a little bit about the game plan. We didn't see the run game in the second half, despite the big lead and the loss of Travis Kelce. Andy Reid in any trouble in Kansas City? They've had success, but they've kind of plateaued. If you're going to trade your quarterback, might you be putting your coach on the hot seat as well?
I mean, I would. Like, you know, if I were the decision makers in Kansas City, I would absolutely light a fire under Andy Reid's butt, because that's just not acceptable. I mean, this is two times and since he took over that job in Kansas City, he's blown a big playoff lead and lost a game like that. And there's no excuse for it. I mean, there's just, you've got Kareem Hunt. It should be fairly easy. I mean, I know that, you know, the Titans get the ball first and they kind of come out and they push their way around the field and they take a lot of clock off right at the beginning of the second half. But, you know, the Chiefs got the ball back, and what they do, you know, they turned it, they lost it right away. I mean, they couldn't control it. They couldn't control the tempo. They couldn't set the tempo despite the fact that they have Kareem Hunt. I mean, you know, you can blame the refs all you want if you're Kansas City, because it was a poorly officiated game, but it doesn't change the fact that, you know, you refuse to kind of use the offensive system that's worked, that's gotten you here.
I couldn't agree more. Talked about it a lot on the program. You can make all the excuses you want about officials. You had a big lead at halftime, and you simply refused to run the football.
Oh, yeah, well. It's embarrassing. It's inexcusable for a coach of Andy Reid's, you know, tenure. I mean, how long has he been in the NFL?
And stature as well. He's considered one of the elite coaches in this league, and he got out-coached by Mike Mularkey and Dick LeBeau.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that right there should be enough. But he's safe in Kansas City for some dumb reason.
And there we go. Some of the other openings around the NFL, the Giants, the Cardinals. You got any idea thus far on a lot of these openings who the favorites are and how you think these coaching searches and how this coaching carousel will all shake out and who will land where when it stops spinning?
Well, it's pretty telling that the Giants are waiting to interview Steve Wilks until next week, the Panthers' defensive coordinator. Obviously, there's a connection there with Gettleman. He knows him. I would be willing to bet, that Wilks will be the next head coach of the New York Giants. And that's probably good. I mean, I think he's, you know, what he's done with that defense in Carolina over the years speaks for itself. I mean, you know, they've been underrated many, many times, and they still kind of go out and they put a good performance together week in and week out. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. That's that familiarity angle that you see a lot of new GMs take with hiring coaches anyway. So, obviously you got Gruden in Las Vegas now. So that's a good fit. Well, I'm anxious to see if he can live up to the $10 million a year price tag that he's getting, but, you know, more power to the Raiders for trying. And the ref, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who eventually jumps on McDaniels, where he wants to go. I think that's kind of the next domino to, and you know, who can land him. And then I think the rest of the coach, because everybody's interested in him. Everybody wants to hire him. So once he kind of picks a spot, then the rest of those openings will start to shake out.
I guess the final one before we let you bounce here, and we mentioned the Giants and Steve Wilks. Obviously, with Reese out and Ben McAdoo out and maybe Steve Wilks in, but definitely Dave Gettleman in, have they repaired the relationship with Eli Manning, and is he going to be there for a couple of more years, or are they going to make a change at quarterback immediately?
Well, I think that's up to John Mara. I mean, you know, I'd be surprised if they let him go, but Eli Manning, you know, it's a rebuild in New York now, and that's not something a quarterback with Eli Manning's age wants to kind of have to deal with again. And that's, you know, that's frustrating for a quarterback that wants to go out on top and wants to win a Super Bowl one last time. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be surprised either way, to be honest with you.
Okay, fair enough. And it should be interesting to see. They have the number two pick, and they also pick early in the second round. Do they get one of the considered studs right at the top, or do they go for a quarterback a little later and maybe draft something else to address some of their many other needs right at the top of the draft? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on what happens with Eli. If Eli sticks around for a couple more years, they have some options available to them in the draft. They don't necessarily have to be forced into a quarterback at number two. But, you know, that what the Chiefs have done with Mahomes and Smith is a good model. You know, we've seen this in Green Bay over the years with Favre and Aaron Rodgers, obviously. If they feel like, you know, Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold could be their guy, then they ought to just use the number two pick for him. Sit him for a year behind Eli and let him develop. I mean, that's the smart way to go and not throw these guys out there and put a ton of pressure on them their first year.
Ryan, thanks so much for the insight. Enjoy today's Wild Card Sunday action, and let's do it again soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me today, guys.
My pleasure. Bye-bye now. Ryan Van Bibber, SB Nation.